It's just to, yeah, that's my wife Kathy is here with us tonight, and my mum. I go nowhere without my mummy. It's just the way it is. But she was more excited about seeing some old friends here than hanging out with me, if you know what I mean. But please catch up with them later. Let's open in prayer as we come before the Lord and his word. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, in some respects, please move me right out of the way, Father. Allow your Holy Spirit, as we heard Tom say earlier, to reveal things to us through your word, from your word to our hearts, Father. And please challenge us in this particular idea, this topic, this intention you have for us, that we might slow down and be still and know that you are God, Lord. So please bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight's going to be a little bit different. Typically, like your church, I would imagine, we work through books of the Bible. We've worked through 1 Peter, we've worked through Mark, we're now in Ephesians, and we, in an expository sense, work through line by line, verse by verse. And some of those newer families were joking with me the other day. They said, we've done 4 sermons, we're only up to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. But over January, I think it's a good time for us to think about the year ahead and reset. And so simply the title of the sermon tonight for you, my message to you in that sense, and hopefully you can pick this up and run with this, is simply called Slow Down. Slow down. And we will come to James. So I'm not going to work through James verse by verse in James 4 there, but we'll come to that in due course. But I want you to think that way. Think about the holidays you've just had. I'm sure, put your hand up if you've been on holidays, I'm sure at some point you've said to yourself or to your spouse or someone, oh, I wish I could do this all year. Oh, I just need to slow down more. It's so good here. I've seen some pictures from up the river. It just looks pretty. There's green grass and there's a river and they're hanging out. It's slow down. It's good, isn't it? It's good. And we say to ourselves, I'm going to slow down this year. I'm going to spend more time with my family, more time with the Lord. I'm just going to chill. And then something happens. Something happens. And we go back to work and all of a sudden we're time poor. We're running out of time. We've got double booked meetings. It's all go, 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 go. I was in a cafe the other day and someone said they're going to be 10 minutes late. And I didn't go, oh, great, fair dinkum, I've got to wait now. Oh, cool, I got out my phone and started doing things. We have to fill in every little bit of time, don't we? And there's hardly any time for us to slow down. So I want us to think about that tonight. I just want to start with an illustration. I used to do these bike rides with some friends, and we'd do these 4 or 5 overnight things. You'd pack your sleep in a tent, pack it up, throw it in a tent, you'd ride to the next country town, you know, 100 k's away, whatever. And at one time there, we're in Bulladela, and we'd come from Foster, and we're going up to Gloucester. So if you know Bulladela, we had to come south and go through Burrell and all that and up that way. And there's some hairpins and some mountains and all that sort of stuff. And I got, actually, Jake, where's Jake? Yeah, there he is. Yeah, he was like the guy you had to always try and catch. He was the guy you had to catch. And I got separated from the group. Obviously, I was probably in front. I don't know. But I remember going up this one hill and had the granny gears on. And there was a lady in front of me. And all you, when you're riding like that, you just want to catch that person, the next one, and the next one, and the next one. I go up this steep hill and I come up to her and I sort of slowed down because I didn't want to be one of those show-off people. Look at, you know, loser. I come up to her and I said, oh, this hill's hard, isn't it? And she said, yeah, but look at the view. And as I looked to the left, there was the most magnificent view, these green valleys. And I was way up high and there was a road to the left and we were going up around the mountain. And it's something that's always stuck with me. Look at the view. And she was going a lot slower than me, but I think she was enjoying it more than me as well. Look at the view. And it's something that's always stuck with me. And I wonder as Christians whether we look at the view enough. I wonder if we look to see what Christ has done for us. We look at what Christ is continuing to do for us. You could even say during COVID, you would hear people say, you know, if you still had a job, or and you're working from home or whatever, this is great, getting to do those important things in life, time with family, time with this, playing board games, watching movies, getting the gardening done. My son works part-time at Bunnings and they were busier than ever. Everyone was improving themselves. And even when industry had shut down, we still found ways to be busy and probably busier than ever. And we know that the devil loves us to be busy, doesn't he? Corrie ten Boom once said, if the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. He will make us busy. He wants to distract us from the rich, beautiful, deep relationship we have with the Lord and even distract us from doing the Lord's work. And when he does that, boom, he has us. He has us. We've got friends in Fiji who live a very simple, straightforward life. They even have a church in their village. It's pretty cool. They walk to church. And I'm embarrassed when I talk to them. And we look at people, what we're doing over here in our countries. And we've got so much, yet we're so busy doing everything else. And at this time of the year, what is it all about? New Year's resolutions, isn't it? And I read recently in US News and World, it said that 80% of people fail their New Year's resolutions by February. And apparently most of them are health related. But for us tonight, let's think about the spiritual health that we want to consider and how we might slow down. So I want to just firstly, what is the ideal? What does God want us to do? Well, listen to this. I'm pretty obvious. He wants us to slow down. He doesn't want you so busy that you cannot love him. He doesn't want you so busy that you cannot learn from him. He doesn't want you so busy that you can't love others, that you can't serve others, that you can't be faithful and regular in fellowshipping with your fellow Christians. And we are finite human beings. We are not God. We do need time to digest, to reflect, to soak up God's word and his ways. We need time. This is the ideal, to see the beauty and the wonder and the grandeur and the grace and the love of God. I was recently up at Foster, and we didn't go fishing this time, but you go out fishing on the lakes that are out the back there, if you've been there, and the stars are just sensational. And the more that you look into the stars, the more stars you see. And my grandfather, who knows a bit, will point out different planets, and oh, that's a satellite, and this sort of stuff. It's just amazing the more we see. And I wouldn't do that. Even like this time at Foss, I'm busy doing this, busy doing that. I didn't spend that time. God wants us to do that in our walk with him. He wants us to slow down. We see that principle in Exodus 34. It says that we should work 6 days and on the seventh day we should rest. And there's a funny, the rest of that verse says, this is verse 21, in ploughing time, in harvest time, you shall rest. Now, we mightn't think much about that, but a farmer would spend months and months and months and half a year preparing and sowing and tending and nurturing. And there was a point in that where they had to harvest. There was no time to stop. Yet God is saying, no. Even when you're at your busiest in the year, stop. Slow down. We know in Psalm 46:10, and I actually touched on this when I prayed, that it says, be still and know that I am God. Now, granted, the context there is probably a little more stern than what we often think when we say be still. But God is saying, stop, be still, know who I am. I will be exalted amongst the nations, he says. I will be exalted in the earth. And we even see Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, constantly stopping, resting, waiting. He was productive, as we know. He did a lot in those 3 years, but he wasn't frenzied. He took time. And I remember as a kid thinking, why does he need to do that? He's God. He's the Son of God. He took time to spend time with his Father. He took time aside. He would rise up early in the mornings. He would go when the sun was not yet up, go to desolate places away from everybody and pray. And in Matthew 11, it says, in 28, it says, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying, you need to slow down. Come to me. You can slow down. You can rest. You can learn. You can love. And as I share this with you, there's a part of me right now is going, I want to slow down too. Here I am standing up here saying it. And, in the pastoral role, you can get so excited about people and people ring up and want to spend time with you and all that sort of stuff and the situations you're not ready for and all that. I need to spend regular time with the Lord. With loved ones, if I take that out that way. Time to think, time to pray, time to listen to God. I would imagine a lot of you guys would get up and go to a job working in a factory. A lot of you guys might get up and go into the city where you've got to catch two trains or a bus and a train or you've got to drive to ride or somewhere. It's hard, isn't it, to slow down? It's hard to take time. But what about yourself? Isn't that in the heart of every Christian to say, I want to spend more time with my Lord? I want to spend more time learning about it. I want to spend more time in His Word that reveals things to me. And you might be thinking, you know what, Shane, I want to do that, but I can't. You see, Shane, there's this gun to my head, and they're forcing me not to sleep. They're forcing me to be busy. I understand that. When I go to the fridge, there's someone that looks like me with a gun and says, take that last ice cream. No one will know. Just peel it really quietly. I'm slowing down there, aren't I? We've got a gun to... It's crazy, isn't it? And it was one of the funny observations for me during COVID in those early months. Oh, I'm loving this, spending more time. And I said, I wonder what's going to happen when we go back to work. Are we going to put the gun to our head? That's the ideal. God wants us to slow down. But there's a problem with that, isn't there? I've touched on that we're too busy. I want to share some insights from a secular source. This guy's name is Kyle Kowalski. And he has listed six or seven reasons why we are so busy today. Now, I said secular because I want to share a secular source to show how much as Christians we actually think and act like the world that we're in, that we've been saved out of, if you know what I mean by that. Listen to these. I'll just fly through these. The first one, busyness is a badge of honour. It's almost a trendy status symbol. Mostly at work, when somebody says, when I was in corporate life, how's it going, Shane? Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm just so busy. I mean, I am important. Only busy people are important. It's almost a badge of honour for some people, isn't it? Not many people say, hey, I've got nothing to do, boss. I'm just going to sit back for an hour and do some Facebook, maybe some Instagram because I've gone up the trendy level. Business as a badge of honour. Second one, business as job security. If we look productive, if we're busy, if we're busier than anyone else, and there's nothing wrong with that, and we show loyalty to the company, that in some respects we think if we're busy that way and we do extra things like that, which is good at one level, it can give us a sense of job security, that I'm not going to be the first person to be cut. Another reason for busyness is fear of missing out. The old FOMO, as they call it, fear of missing out. We spend time and money, we buy things, we have to have things, we do things. In fact, I think there's a bit of a shift from actually buying things to actually doing things, which takes even more time. At least when you buy, the latest skateboard, it sits in your garage after 3 months and you never use it again. But we're consumed with doing. We don't want to miss out. We don't want to miss out. Oh, you should come see this movie. You don't want to miss out. Well, come see this football game. It's going to be good. What if we win? You're going to miss out. We get busy doing stuff. We don't want to miss out. I think also we're busy because of this age we're in, this digital age. We're 24/7 connected, aren't we? It's bizarre. And some friends have shared who are in corporate life said they're working from home and they loved it and they're wearing their UGG boots and their board shorts, but they've got the business shirt up the top for Zoom. But they're working longer hours all of a sudden because there's no travel and the boss's emails and this, that, and I'm answering at night. And I think this digital age has made us busy. Business also is a time filler. I shared earlier, I'm in the cafe, I've got 10 minutes, I'll do something. Even there, we don't have time. We don't make time. We just don't slow down and relax. And lastly, business as escapism. The tough questions in life we may not answer. I was up And I was up somewhere recently having a coffee with someone, and they haven't been to church in 30 years. And I said, off guard for them, I think, "Hey, what made you leave the church? What, do you believe in God still?" Yeah. "So what did you leave?" "Oh, I don't know. I just grew out of it. Life just got busy." And I said, "Gee, I hope it doesn't get busy later on when the Lord calls you." I couldn't help myself. I know the bloke really well. But sometimes we're so busy because it's a way of escaping things we should be doing. Now, I probably laboured on that a little bit, but here's Kyle Kowalski, a non-Christian, saying that. And I'm sure all of us have been fallen into the trap there somewhere with one of them. Fear of missing out. I'm so busy. I'm a badge of honour. The digital age just suckers us in. We can't help ourselves, can we, when that notification comes up? Just one more. Just one more. Oh, he's responded. But I think all of these just mask something much deeper, which poor old Kyle Kowalski wouldn't see, that we do not love God, and I'm talking to us as Christians, with all of our heart. Christ said, "You cannot serve God and the world," or mammon. You cannot serve both. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And busyness, and we're all, I think, guilty of it as Christians, is never our master until we make it so. Until we make it so. We decide to be busy. We decide, like Adam and Eve, this busyness, if I take their application for us, is a better way to satisfy ourselves. We decide to put the gun to our head and say, "I'm going to be busy. I don't have time to learn from the Lord. I don't have time to love the Lord more. I don't have time to dwell and meditate on his word." You think about it. Illustrations, you get a new job. You get a promotion. There's more work. There's more time. There's more mental drain. You promise yourself, "When I get this job, I won't be that person who gets worse. I'll have the right focus. I'll still have time for family. I'll still have time for the Lord." It could be, though, not just a new job, a new hobby, a new home, all sorts of things, even good things, which all of those things I just said are, can make you so busy. And Satan is sitting there going, "Got him. Got him. Don't worry about him now. Let's move on. He's going to be so busy chasing his tail, chasing his desires, he won't have time to be effective for the Lord. You sure? Yep, go. Let's go." Isn't that sad? And I feel convicted as I say that. And here's the problem: that busyness never really gets me what I really want, does it? It actually takes me away from my Creator. It takes me away from my Saviour. And it leads me to my own desires and my own rewards. As if I do these things, I'll feel satisfied. I'll be rewarded. This will be good. Indirectly, we're saying, "You can't do this for me, Lord. This is what I need." So busyness, the busyness of life, being busy, we might say, takes God's blessing from me. Now, let's have a look at James here. I'm talking in the context of 2021 now, isn't it? Yeah. The same issue was there in James 4. In fact, I think it's Amos, just off the top of my head. The same issue was there in the Old Testament. I said, "You're going down here, you're doing this, you're doing that." But let's have a look at James 4. I just want to skip through the passage again from verse 1 and just pull up some points there, and then we'll come back and look at some ways that we might be able to put some things in place to slow down. Verse 1, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you?" Now, for James, this has got to the point where people are chasing their own desires. It ends up in fights and blues and things like that. Is that not the problem in married couples? Not Kathy and I, because we're pretty good, but I've heard. I've read books. "What causes quarrels and fights, what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you, your desires? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." You adulterous people. He doesn't pull back, James, does he? "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Go down to verse 7. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So James is saying, when you chase your own passions and desires, you become part of the world. You fall into the world system. You fall into the world system. And you turn your back on God. The world is at tension, at conflict with God. And you decide, I'm going to be that as well. I'm redeemed, but I'm going to do that as well. But in verse 7, we see, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the answer, isn't it? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Slow down. Draw near. Take time and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Language gets even stronger. Be wretched, mourn and weep. How often do you weep when you're praying before the Lord? Something to think about, isn't it? It's not hard to weep when you're asking for things for yourself all the time. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. He will exalt you. Let's pick up verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In other words, all you're consuming yourself with so many of your own desires and you're busy, busy, busy doing that. Your life is like that. It's nothing. So slow down and spend time with the God who is everything. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Nothing wrong with planning and thinking of the future. And verse 17 says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. James here is saying that our passions, our desires and our own hearts, our sinners saved by grace hearts, is causing us to be busy and chase things that have no eternal consequence. So really, the problem is a human problem and it's a problem of the heart, our own desires, our own passions. Let me just share very quickly some ways that we might slow down. And these are fairly obvious at one level, but it's always good to challenge ourselves. We're jumping into 2021. Is anyone here still on holidays? Daniel? All right, you can still slow down probably. The rest of us are into it, yeah? And we still got to slow down. Let's think about these things. And how sad is it that as human beings, but redeemed human beings, saved by the grace of God, from before time, decrees from before time, Christ came and died. The Holy Spirit now dwells inside us. We have the Word of God, and yet we still want to ratchet back the blessing of God and the oneness with God and the grace of God and the closeness we have with God. Seriously, aren't we really the silliest people on the planet? And there's no theology of this, but I'm sure the angels must say, what are they doing? They've got it all. Christ died for them. Look at them chasing things like the world. Think about these things. And we can only do these things, why? Because Christ has secured our salvation on the cross. He has reconciled us back to the Father. Before we were saved, we could only ever sin. Now, we still sin, unfortunately, but we have the opportunity and the ability and the capability because of the Spirit to obey the Father. And I cannot wait till glory when we can never sin again and obey and follow the Father forever. Think about these things. Firstly, work hard and choose to slow down. What do I mean by that? Choose. Have a conscious decision. Make a conscious effort to slow down. Take that gun from your head and throw it over the fence or into the river or something. Choose to slow down. Say, I'm going to spend more time with my Lord this year. You have to decide what that looks like. Put things in place. Get a rhythm in your life to slow down. Make that your only goal this year. Forget all the others. They all go by February. Make this your goal. Choose to slow down. Secondly, we saw in James there, submit yourselves therefore to God. Humbly submit yourself to God. Come before him and say, Father, yes, I'm selfish. Yes, I've chased my own desires. Yes, I treat you so flippantly. I have disregard for you. Forgive me. Can I come to you humbly? Change me. Teach me. And you know what? The more you know about God, the more you want to slow down. The more time you spend with him, the more that he means to you, the more you will slow down. It's a bit like that ice cream I snuck the other night. I had one bite and then I started eating it really quickly. It was good. I'm not comparing God to an ice cream, but the more time you spend with him, the more time you slow down, the more time you get to savor the wonderful grace and mercy and love of God, the more time you want to spend with him. It's not slowing down like a policeman. You know, when you see one on the side of the road, oh, what am I doing? Oh, slow down to 60 exactly. It's not like that. God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to learn from him. He wants us to love him more and love his word more. So choose to slow down. Humbly submit yourself to God. And then desire Christ. Desire Christ. Find joy in Christ. You might think, well, that's pretty obvious, Shane. Puritan John Preston once said, if a man does not love the Lord Jesus, it is because he loves something better than him. We should desire Christ above all else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And you know what? If you don't desire Christ, if you don't seek Christ, your, as I'm going to talk about now, your devotional time with the Lord will be legalistic. You'll just go through the motions. So let's think about that now. Desire Christ. Establish regular devotional time with him. Jonathan Edwards said, persons need not and ought not to set any bounds or boundaries to their spiritual and gracious appetites. And it's very hard when I stand up here and preach right now and say, you must have a devotional time. But a Christian should have that desire. It should be a priority. Let me ask you this. You don't have to answer this, Daniel. Do you think showering is important? Yeah? We do it every day, don't we? Brush our teeth every day. Sometimes we iron our clothes. If we come across someone who hasn't showered for a few days, we think, wow, they're not really into hygiene, are they? Don't know about these guys. If we don't have regular time with the Lord, it might tell us, ourselves, we don't value that time with the Lord. We don't value that time with the Lord. So think about that. If your devotional time with the Lord, however you set a rhythm for that, is up and down or hit and miss, you might be at least saying to the Lord, I don't value you like I should. You're not that important to me. Now, that might sound a bit legalistic, but there's no really other way to say it, is there? Slow down, spend time with the Lord. That's your prayer life, your reading of God's word. In both of those things, desire Christ. Don't go, okay, I haven't got time now. What's that psalm, that really short one near 119? That'll do, two verses. I'm in. No, desire Christ. Seek Christ in every part of Scripture. And I think it's a faith issue when we don't spend time with the Lord. Because we're saying, I'm too busy. I'm too important. I've got a lot on. And I know this from experience. You spend that time with the Lord, he will make up the day. He will fix it up. I'm not saying it's a transactional thing where I do this for God and he'll do that. But when you push back and say, I don't have time, I'm too busy, you will find your day will go a little crazy. So spend that, or establish that regular devotional time. And realise you need to work hard to slow down. You need to work hard to slow down. You go to the gym and you see that magnificent ripped body there, and all the boys are going, oh, I'm going to look like that one day. It's hard work. Not many get there. You go to someone's place and they've got beautiful gardens. It's hard work. And spiritual life is like that too. Work hard to slow down. Work hard to slow down. Let me just close with a few questions. Do you want a deeper relationship with God that grows? Slow down. Slow down. Busy does not give you a deeper relationship with God. Do you want a deeper relationship with those around you, those that you love and your friends? Slow down. Busy doesn't give you that. Husbands and wives particularly, slow down. Our kids are older. It's a bit easier for us, but you've got younger kids. It's hard to slow down, isn't it? But you have to slow down. Spend that time with the Lord. Slow down. Busy doesn't give you that. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Let me share one last quote by Thomas Brooks as I close. Thomas Brooks says, it's a great example of slowing down. "It is not the bee's touching of the flower that gathers honey, but her abiding for a time upon the flower that draws out the sweet," or we might say the nectar. "It's not he who reads most, but he who meditates most, who will prove the choicest, sweetest, wisest, and strongest Christian." Let me encourage you, be like that bee. Hover over. Spend time with the Lord. Slow down and let the Lord make you, if I could say this in a respectful way, the choicest, sweetest, wisest, and strongest Christian, because you spend that time with your Father. Slow down and wait upon the Lord. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your word, Lord. James' words are so strong. And even though we only looked at them briefly, Father, we submit to you, Father. Humble us, Father. Humble us, Lord, that we might slow down. Lord, there's so much. Reading Ephesians 1, that you give us blessing upon blessing, every spiritual blessing. We're seated in the heavenly places, yet we tend to dance and play in the world. We're so busy doing things for us, when you have created us for so much more. You have saved us for so much more. Lord, challenge me, Father. Challenge all of us to slow down and spend time with you, our Creator, our Saviour, our Sustainer. Lord, encourage us with these thoughts and challenge us to slow down. And in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.